And I just said, as well. praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We do give everyone a very warm welcome into our service tonight, and it's good to be gathered in the name of the Lord. And we do greet all those that's tuned in this evening. May the Lord bless you, whether you're here in the north or the south of Ireland or in another country. The Lord bless you. We welcome each and every one of you that's tuned in, and we just thank the Lord for his word tonight. We want to continue from the morning's message, the precious blood, his precious blood, and we know that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read again this evening 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 then verse 18 and verse 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let us just bow our heads for the word of prayer of the night while we look at the word of God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the precious and lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great privilege that we can bow before you and come into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Father, bless all that's listening in tonight. Meet the need of every man and woman, we pray, and speak to us from your word. And Lord, I do take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you, Lord, that you do undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless each and every one of you tonight that's listening in. I want to just continue on with the message, the precious blood of Christ. Praise God. The blood of Christ is the most holy and precious thing. It is the only cleansing agent for sin in the whole universe. It is far more valuable than animal's blood or of any human blood, for it is divine blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is divine blood. It was the blood of God that was in the veins of Jesus Christ. It wasn't Jewish blood. It wasn't Gentile blood. It wasn't the blood of any man. But it was actually the blood of God. Jesus had within his veins the blood of God. He was God manifested in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6. God with us. Praise God. The Bible tells us that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in the Lord. Now we had saw this morning, I mentioned 8 different things about the blood. So this is number 9 tonight. And number 9 is communion through the blood. And we saw this morning the different things that we are privileged to have because of the blood. And we cannot have communion with God without the blood. We are brought into communion with God through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the blood of Jesus was not shed, there would be no way for man to come into communion with God. But because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, me and you, we can come into communion with God because of his precious blood. He doesn't see our sin. When we are washed by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus, and he does not see our sin. The blood covers, annihilates, washes away our sin. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of his body? 1 Corinthians 10 16. So we have communion with God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So if you take away the blood of Christ, you cannot have communion with God. So religion that has no blood in it has no communion and no access to God. They're still at a distance from God. But the Bible's clear. We are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are made nigh. We are brought to God. We're brought in fellowship with God. We're brought close to God because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Number 10, covenantal relationship through the blood. And we have covenantal relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can come into a covenant with God. We have a relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When the Israelites came into covenantal relationship with God, God promised to protect them if they kept his law and fulfilled it and followed him. God then promised to keep them, to preserve them. God even told them about diseases and plagues, that none of these diseases which I have brought upon the Egyptians shall come upon you if you keep my laws and come into a blood covenant with me. Now, if God could do that for Israel under an old sacrifice, how much more can God, under this new covenant, under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, how much more under this new covenant of Christ on the cross can we come into relationship with God, and God, being a faithful God, can protect us. No evil shall come upon us if the Lord's with us. The Lord can protect us. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk upright before him. Hebrews 13 and 20 tells us, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So this covenant that we've been able to come into with God is an everlasting covenant. Now there's salvation in it, there's healing in it, and there's protection from all the wiles of the enemy. None of these things, God said, will come upon you. And that is the promise of the word of God. And he went further, because you know in Exodus what he said, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we have a right this evening for salvation. We have a right this evening for healing, because we are under an everlasting covenant because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Number 11. We're made kings and priests unto our God because of this precious blood. Kings and priests. Can you imagine it tonight? People are looking for an earthly priest, but yet with all the Bible calls, those of us that are saved, if you're genuinely saved and born again in the Spirit of God, you're kings and priests. Look at Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise God. Look at verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, bought us back, redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue and nation. Praise God. And we have been made kings and priests. Verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Praise God. So because of this blood covenant, because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are made. He has made us unto our God kings and priests. Praise God. And we shall reign on the earth. You know, even after Jesus comes and takes his people home, and there's going to be a tribulation that comes upon this earth, the Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. But those of us that are saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, thrust up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My friend, this evening there is a time coming on the earth which is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a great tribulation. The true bride of Jesus Christ will be raptured, caught away. They will escape the judgment that's coming, because Romans 8 verse 1, there's no condemnation or judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. They will escape it. They are the bride of Christ. They will go of this earth. God's judgment will fall upon this earth. And once this judgment finishes, those that have went to be with the Lord will come back with the Lord as king and queen, and they will stand on the Mount of Olives. And we will live and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, called the millennial reign, with Jesus Christ. And during that 1,000 years, the devil will be bound for that 1,000 years, praise God. There's wonderful times ahead for the true born-again believer. Praise God. That is why it's so important tonight. We know we're living in the last of the last days. I woke early the other morning and I could hear the scripture coming to me. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. And we're living at the end time. We're living in that time of the revealing of the Son of Man. We're living in the last of the last days, where Jesus Christ can come at any moment, not just an appearing, but the literal, physical second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ could be at any time, and we need to be ready. And we see wars and rumors of wars everywhere over the world. We see this plague that swept over the world. We see all these troubles and things happening, and we know that it is nigh, as the Bible says, even at the door. You know the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves and the other trees, know that it is near, even at the door. And the fig tree in scripture is referring to Israel. And Israel became a nation in 1946. She became a nation. And many other countries now are recognized and identified as their own nation. And we know we're in the season, we're in the time period of the coming of the Lord. And Jesus said these words, this generation, that generation that sees that shall not pass away until it cometh. And we know that can mean that particular kind of people. Don't get caught up with 10 years or 50 years. It can mean that particular kind of people will not pass till it come. And we know that Israel has kept to their kind. They are Jews today. They're in their own land. They're in their own nation. They're wanting to rebuild the temple that they once had to worship the Lord. They've rebred the red heifer. They've all the instruments ready to start that worship again. And you know what Paul says, they were blinded for a season so that us Gentiles could come in. God deliberately blinded Israel so that they rejected Christ. They turned Christ down, so that us Gentiles could see the way of salvation and be saved. But brothers and sisters, men and women listening in tonight, the Gentiles dispensation, and it is one, it is almost up. And the Lord is going to turn back to the Jewish people, and there's going to be a rapture of the true Gentile bride will be raptured to this earth. Jesus Christ will turn back to the Jewish people, and the tribulation will set in on the mark of the beast. We know the mark of the beast is near tonight. Set in. No man could buy or sell except he had the mark, or that number 666. And we know it is a number of a man. And there's going to be a man raised up that will rule the world. And he will be absolutely possessed with the devil himself. He will be Satan's prophet, Satan's priest, possessed by the devil. All the world's religions will wander after him. The Bible declares it, whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life. But those whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, and only God knows who they are. That's why we must preach the gospel till every creature. We don't know who's going to come, but God does know. And those whose names are in that book will not be deceived. They'll be saved, they'll be raptured, they'll be in that group called the bride of Jesus Christ that the Lord is soon coming for, praise God. Number 12, overcoming Satan by the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, if ever there was a time when we needed power to overcome the devil, it's today. And God has given us the recipe to overcome the devil, Revelation 12 verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of Jesus Christ is the thing that God has given us to overcome the devil. You and me need to appropriate the blood. When we're praying, we need to ask God to cover us with the precious blood. You don't need some special revelation where you need a dictionary to break it all down. God doesn't work like that. God will hear you as you pray it simply in childlike faith, that all you do is ask God to wash you and cover you with his precious blood. Ask the Lord to cover your children with his precious blood, to cover you with the precious blood of the Lamb. And we know in Exodus, God told Moses, the blood of the doorposts shall be to you for a token. And when I see the blood, the death angel will pass over you. He cannot come nigh thy dwelling because of the blood. So you can only overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. You cannot overcome the devil any other way. God has given the precious blood of Jesus, his precious blood, that we can overcome the devil. Number 13, eternal life is ours because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me read you some scriptures this evening, and you can mark them down, and I'll take my time and read them for you. John 6, verse 53 to 63. Hear these words. There's life in the word of God. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I am him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, as the fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now we know that this bread that the Lord's talking about eating, his flesh and the bread, is the word of God. It is the word of God. It's not some vampire stuff. It's the word of God. And we know the blood is a spirituality of it as well, that Jesus is explaining him. Verse 57, as the living Father have sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and they're dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, many therefore of the disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at this, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? So Jesus was with the Father, and he came from the Father to earth, and he went back to the Father. He says that himself. So he was in the bosom of the Father from the foundation of the world. This is why he is superior to Buddha. He is superior to Muhammad. Buddha or Muhammad never were with God in the beginning. They never came from the Father to earth and went back to the Father. They were born sinners by nature, sinners by birth. They died, they're placed in a grave, and they're still in that grave. But Jesus could come from the Father and go back to the Father. Praise God. Verse 62, and what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now we know the life of the blood, the life of the blood is the token life, the Holy Spirit. So when the blood cell of Jesus broke on the cross 2,000 years ago, the life of that blood was released, and the life of the blood of Jesus is the quickening power, is the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us in Romans, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. So you need to have the life for this blood. Except the man is born of the water and the Spirit. These are the words of Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. There must be a birth, a born again experience. The life of that blood must literally possess you. It must fill you. It must enter you. You must be born of the Spirit of God. Born again. Not just a leaf turning over, a new change, a new beginning. No, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Praise God. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Eternal life through this blood. And this eternal life was because the blood cell was broke and the very life of God was released, so that the life of God could come in you, and therefore you and me could have that life, and that is eternal life. And when you have eternal life, you can never perish. The second death can have no power over you. Your flesh could die and go to the grave, though we know that. But your soul will live on, and God will resurrect your body from the grave. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, at the great time of the rapture, are catching away, the dead in Christ will rise first. Praise God. Those in the grave are going to come out of the grave by the power of God, and there's going to be resurrection. Number 14, perfection by the power of the blood. Now, a great servant of God said this here. He says, if God asks for perfection in us, then he has to make a way for it. Now, you and me know there is no way we could claim we're perfect of ourselves. We could never do it. But we can be perfect through the blood, because when we wash in the blood of the Lamb, we have absolute perfection by the power of the blood. Because of the power of the blood, our sins are gone, washed away into the sea of forgetfulness. And God does not see me and you in our sinful condition. He sees the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore he sees us as perfectly whole, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Hebrews 6 verse 1 to 2. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now a lot of people take this verse and they claim they're preaching perfection, and they never ever mention the blood. You cannot preach perfection without the blood, because it is only perfection can only come by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. If you do away with the blood, you can't have the life of it or the spirit of it either. You have to have the blood, and you must come by faith as a child and wash in the precious blood of Jesus Christ to have perfection. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgments. Hebrews 7, verse 11 and 19. Listen to these words. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, if perfection were by the Levitical priesthood or the old priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest that should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Verse 13, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. And we know the Lord came from a tribe that no one mentioned. Listen to this, verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. So Jesus Christ in his lineage came out of the tribe of Judah, which was not mentioned in the Levitical priesthood line, praise God. But yet, he is the ultimate priest, the only priest that's needed today, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, praise God, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he said, I was with the Father, I come from God, and I go back to God. I think that's tremendous. This is the eternal, the endless life. This is the one with endless life. I am he that was dead, Revelation, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Verse 17, for he testifieth thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise God. For there is verily a disunion of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. So you could never be perfected through the law. So therefore you could never be perfected through works. But the bringing in of a better hope, and that better hope is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The one that has an endless life came, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And that life of God was in him. When the blood cell broke, that life was released for me and you, so that me and you could have that life that was in him. And that is eternal life. The Greek word is Zoe, God's own life, living in us, which gives us eternal life. Even if you die, you'll go to heaven. Your soul will live. You'll go to be with the Lord. There is no real death for the real believer. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? All that the believer receives from God through Christ is because of the new covenant blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Peter calls it the precious blood. His precious blood, which is in heaven before the Father's throne. Theologically, the sacrifice of Christ is spoken of as an atonement. Praise God, an atonement. This is my next thought, an atonement. Theologically, this sacrifice is spoken of as an atonement. There's a wee song, I'm not sure of all the words of it, but it says, full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Jesus Christ has paid full atonement for me and you. Romans 5 verse 15, but not as the offence, so also is a free gift. For if through the offence of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded to many. Praise God. Look at John 1 verse 29-36. I know it's a few verses, but let us just read them. I like to read the word of God and tie it to the word of God. God's word is powerful. There's life in the word of God. The next day, John, and this is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is God's appointed taker away of sin. There is no other taker away of sin. And let me say this. This is a title for an old sermon I preached years ago. He died for no one but sinners. Jesus Christ died for no one but sinners. And John shows us that Jesus Christ is God's appointed taker away of sin. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Not just with water, but with the Holy Ghost. This same Lord Jesus. Now, verse 34 of John. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He is our propitiation. Praise God. He is the one that takes away our sin because of his precious blood. He takes away our sin. Have you noticed John never preached himself? John never pointed you to John. He pointed you to Jesus Christ. He said, I must decrease. He must increase. Praise God. He said, there's one greater than me, whose shoe latch and I'm not worthy to even unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power. I tell you, we need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit. He's our propitiation. Romans 3:35. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. My friend, you cannot divorce the blood from Scripture. You cannot divorce the blood from the message of the gospel, or else you no longer have a message and you no longer have the gospel. To declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Praise God. That's perfection only through the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2 verse 2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ can save the whole world if they'll only come. The Lord can save you tonight, dear friend, if you'll only come. There's power in this blood to cleanse and forgive the whole world if they'll only come. 1 John 4 verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank God. He's the propitiation for our sins. Not only is he the propitiation, he's our substitution. Our substitution also. Praise God. 1 Peter 3 verse 18. For Christ has once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Our substitution. He stood in our place. Quickened by the Spirit, stood in our place. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think that's wonderful. And I love the book of Romans chapter 5. Must be one of my favourite chapters. I learned it as a young boy, sitting at my grandmother's tilly lamp. I learned Romans chapter 5 when I attended a Brethren Sunday School. Mother Farnigan, Brethren Sunday School. I learned chapter 5. Therefore, I tell you, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for the good man some would even dare to die. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you, that's something this evening. Some people might dare to do it for a good man, but Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And our sinful state and our sinful condition, Christ died for us. That's real substitution. Praise God. Real substitution. That Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Because he loves us. He wants to save us. He wants to deliver us. Praise God. Then also we have redemption. Redemption. Praise God. Thank God for redemption through his precious blood. Colossians 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through the church? No. Through an earthly priest? No. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And redemption means bought back. We were slaves to the devil, but Christ Jesus paid for us. And he paid for us according to 1 Peter 2 with his own precious blood. Verse 19 to 20. Or 18 and 19. Verse 18 and 19. I read it in my opening text. The precious blood of Christ. A ransom. He became our ransom. The debt that was owed. The ransom that was asked for. We were held a ransom by the devil. And Jesus Christ paid that great price, that great ransom, with his blood. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life a ransom to pay for me and you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 to 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And we certainly are testifying of the Lord tonight. Now I'm going to close in a moment. I'm almost coming to an end. And I trust you're listening in well. Also reconciliation. We saw that this morning as well. We were reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 to 21. And all things are of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord this evening for his precious word. Now, Hebrews 2, 17. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the world. These words together constitute the full truth of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the atonement the sinless Christ took our sins, took our iniquities and suffered the wrath of a righteous and holy God, receiving in himself the penalty of sin, which was death. His death was not an accident, but an accomplishment. I'm going to say that again. His death was not an accident, but an accomplishment. In contrast to all the previous covenantal sacrifices, which were covenantally offering, was of his own voluntary will, and all the rest was taken by force. All the rest of the covenantal sacrifices was taken by force, but this covenantal sacrifice was by his own voluntary will. Psalms 40, verse 68, and I'm going to have to come to close. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of a book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You could read also Hebrews 10. And Hebrews 10, let's just read it before I close. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which he offered year by year, continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It cannot do it. Verse 2, for then would they need to have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience for sins. We know they were continually offered. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore when he cometh into the world, Jesus Christ, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And burnt offerings and a sacrifice for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Thank God tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved this evening? Have you came to Christ through this blood? Have you confessed your sins to the Lord and asked him to wash you and cleanse you in his precious blood? I invite you tonight to come. Come to the Lord. Come to the Savior. Come and receive him. He'll take you as you are, and you can have absolute perfection through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. No other way, only by the blood. It is the blood that God requires. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let us bow our heads tonight. I want to lead in a sinner's prayer this evening to give a chance if anyone's listening in and they don't know how to come. As a minister, I want to lead you tonight in salvation prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me if you're sincere tonight. Pray this prayer with me. If you're backslidden, you can come back to the Lord this evening. And after you pray this prayer, I'm going to also ask God to touch those that need a healing in their body. By my stripes, ye are healed. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee, that healeth all thy diseases. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I bow before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son. Lord, I've heard about thy precious blood. Lord, I confess I am a sinner, sinful by nature, sinful by birth. I confess my sins to you. Lord, you know my every sin, my every stain. I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will forgive me of every sin and you will wash them away by the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus. I ask you into my heart and into my life now. By faith, I receive you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. I believe that God raised you from the dead on the third day, and I now confess you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for those that need a healing touch. If you need a healing tonight, I don't know where you're suffering. You could have a back pain. Now, I'm very sincere. I feel the presence of the Lord. You could have a back pain. I don't know where your pain is. I'm not going to guess or anything. I'm not God. But I want you, in your privacy of your home, to lay your hand on your ailment, wherever you're sore, if you're able to do it. Put your hand on that spot right now. And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith for your healing right now. Doesn't matter where you are listening in over the world. Jesus Christ can reach you where you are through the power of the lovely Holy Spirit. I'm asking now that the Holy Spirit will come and make this word live in you tonight as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, I pray that you will stretch your arm forth right now with signs and wonders and diverse miracles. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Father, you see for the people of their hands laid on their condition tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, heal that man. Heal that woman. Heal that boy. Heal that girl. I rebuke and I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. Spirit of infirmity, I bind you and I command you to come off the people by the power of the blood of Jesus in Jesus Christ's name right now. And I ask that 1 Peter 2:24 be manifested upon the people tonight on Mark 16. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recover that man. Recover that woman. Health to the navel. Strength to their bones. I speak health. I speak strength. Not in my own name. Not in my own power. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I speak strength and power and healing and deliverance tonight in Jesus Christ's name. I rebuke the spirit of oppression and depression. You foul demon spirit, I rebuke you. I command you to go off the people in Jesus Christ's name for the glory of the Lord. Praise God. Bring your children near. If you have children in your room, bring them near. I want to bless them in the name of the Lord. I want to pray for them this evening for God's protection. Praise God. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, bless that little boy. Bless that little girl. Protect them. Watch over them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I plead the power of the precious blood of Jesus Christ over them tonight. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Father, protect our nurses, protect our doctors, all those that's on the front line. May you be with them. May you protect them. May no evil come nigh thy dwelling in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for those that's listened in tonight. God bless you. We're going to play a song as we go. Praise God this evening. And God bless each and every one. God bless you all this evening. God bless. Half a pinch
before the fall, my
journey start before the fall,
my journey start.
Name is written in his hand.
He ever lives my heart for me to enter sin. His amazing love.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Five bleeding wounds he bore for me and you. Hallelujah. Jesus has done enough to save, to heal, and to deliver. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, forgive they cry. Forgive him, oh, forgive they cry. Ransom sinner die. Pray. He cannot turn away.
The
way of his Son. It answers to the blood. The Spirit answers to the blood. It's me, I am born of God. Reconciled, ding voice I hear. For his child, I can no longer fear. Confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh. and Father, Rabbi, Father, Christ. Hallelujah.